Live at AsylumFantasyFootball.com, it's the Inside Slant.
We are Fligger and Briggs. Welcome to the Asylum. And you know, Rick, the momentum of the slant just continues to roll as we roll through the season.
Absolutely. Week 7, I believe we are at. You still have time. Get those lineup questions in at Asylum Football on Twitter.
Yes, indeed. All will be answered. Some's going to be read here as Scott Fish from FF Oasis comes in with the machine, and we'll get you set up. And you can drop us a line at asylumfootball@gmail.com or the new one, at Asylum, well, not at, that's not Twitter. At. It's Asylum Fantasy Sports.
Ooh, a new
at
one.
At gmail.com.
Asylum Fantasy Sports at gmail.com. I like it. Well, here we go. Oh, Rick, we can also be heard this morning live at the Real Fan Sports Network at rfsportsradio.com. So thanks to them. And coming soon, just a few short weeks away, Rick, on Saturday nights on the Armed Forces Radio Network at the AFRN on Twitter and the Armed Forces Radio Network.com.co, excuse me, on Facebook. So check us out there.
Yes, indeed. You'll be hearing the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show as we move to Thursday
night. So Blitz coming to an end. We've had a good time on the Blitz, but we need to do this to accommodate Armed Forces, and we will do that. So, Rick, like I said, week 7, lots going on. I think a make or break week for a lot of fantasy players.
Yes, indeed, that's for sure. You know, a lot of injuries and all kinds of things going on. There's some really good matchups in the NFL this week as well.
Yeah, no question about it. We'll get into that. We'll make our picks. We'll set your lineups. We'll do anything you need to do. Before we get into that, Rick, just a couple of stories I find interesting. Have you followed this Grambling situation at all?
No, I haven't.
This is really something. The Grambling players actually walked out of practice earlier in the week, refused to travel to the game. Apparently, that program is in such dire straits. I'm just going to read this to you. Players described mold and mildew on equipment and in facilities, complained that they had to pay for their own Gatorade, and said poorly cleaned uniforms have contributed to several players suffering multiple cases of staph infections. So time's a little lean in Grambling. So what do you think? These kids, presumably they're on scholarship, just the conditions have gotten so bad they've completely refused to play.
Yeah, when it gets that bad and you're a young kid, I mean, you're a young adult, whatever. I know when I was 18, 20, we can tolerate at that age, you know, less than sterile conditions.
Yeah.
So they must
be
appalling.
It must be real bad, yeah. And there were some pictures on Twitter. There's no, if you get a chance to check them out, certain players there. There's a story on NFL.com where you can see the pictures. It's really bad. And I give the kids credit, you know, and it's, you feel bad for them. Apparently, budgetary wise, they're so bad. They're taking 1,500 mile round trip bus trips for road games. They can't afford flights, so it's a shame. A very storied program, you know, not really relevant outside of, you know, who they are in the history for several years, at least in my lifetime. But you hate to see a program, a story program like that going through this.
Yeah, I mean, it actually sounds like when Eddie Robinson first started, if you think about it, back when they rode the buses and that thing. And you would think as time went on, just as storied as a career as he had and so forth, and a lot of athletes have come out of Grambling, that they wouldn't be in such financial difficulty.
Yeah, I'm surprised, and it's a shame to see, and hopefully they get that worked out. And one more story I had, Rick. Now, you're a finance kind of guy. You understand this a lot more than I do, mainly because I'm dumb, number one, but number two, this is what you do. Any interest in buying any stock in Arian Foster, Rick?
No, that's the story I had in front of me, and anyone out there that hasn't heard that yet, apparently they are going to offer an initial offering of 1,055,000 shares of Arian Foster stock at $10 a piece. As of yet, there's no date given for the date of the IPO. But I guess what it is you buy stock in Arian Foster and end up making dividends or a percentage of it in the money he makes after football.
During and after. Football.
During and after. Well, yeah, after the IPO, excuse me. And it's Fantex, I believe, is the company that's supplying the IPO. And it says, I do think people will find it interesting. Buck French, CEO of Fantex, told USA Today quoting him, "I understand finance and I want to own a tracking stock that's linked to the value and performance of Arian Foster's brand."
Wow, his brand. Do we have a brand, do you think? We should get a brand.
Yeah, I think we should. And yeah, I think an IPO for Asylum Football, and
brought certainly
up in the chat room here, I think that's just a wonderful idea.
Yeah, talk about penny stock there, my friend.
Yeah, but it sure could soar overnight. I don't know. I would want no part of this.
No.
As precarious as the futures of football players are.
Right.
I mean, we know how they come and go. Let's face it.
Football players especially.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's guys like your Peyton Manning, your Drew Brees, and so forth. It'll probably continue to make a pretty good bout of money afterwards. But think about running backs. Okay, you got Marshall Faulk on the NFL Network. Tomlinson, he's on there. But you don't see Mike Alstott anywhere. You know what I'm saying? You really don't see... I don't know, Charlie Garner.
Yeah,
I mean, you're just trying to think of a lot of people like that. Now, Arian Foster is a talent, but he's also injury prone. And let's face it, he goes out 3 weeks from now, blows his knee, say his career's done. I don't see a whole lot of offers after that,
quite
frankly.
And you don't see his face all over the place because this, of course, is not only his on-the-field earnings, but any off-field earnings, including endorsements, merchandising, coaching football camps, and they point out even movie appearances if he plays himself or the role of a football player, which I found interesting. So, look, short-term for Arian Foster, I guess this is genius on his part. I guess my question is this a jerk move on the athlete's part? Gets an initial $10 million dump right off the bat. Then there's a remaining $550,000 to pay for all the expenses and everything like that. But then now you're looking at, here's the risk. His career's going to be short. I don't see him all over the television. He ain't Peyton Manning. He ain't Drew Brees.
Well, that's the thing.
You're giving up 20% of everything you earn. How much is that really going to be after football? That would be my question for these guys long term. They're getting old in terms of football players. He's a young guy. He's going to live a long time. And you're taking 20% off the top plus the 8 or 10 or 15% your agent's taking off the top. Yeah, it's nice to get this $10 million bump. So that's from the player's perspective. I think it's a risk. Maybe Peyton Manning. First of all, I think this is just the most absurd idea I've ever heard. It's clever, but it's just absurd. But to buy stock, but a Peyton Manning, maybe a quarterback who can play into their 40s, and I see all over the TV. I am not buying stock in any wide receiver, any running back, any position where. And look, Peyton Manning's career could end tonight. Absolutely, it could. I think he's still going to be on TV. These guys, if you're assuming they're going to get these NFL Network or ESPN gigs, they make a lot of money to schlubs like you and I. I think in the grand scheme of things, as an investment, they're not making that much money being on the air. I have a hard time believing. Well, they make $1 million, $2 million a year. That ain't a whole lot of money spread out amongst 1.05 million shares
and
of stock.
And do they? I don't know. I mean, do they really? I mean, you have a million.
They even make that much. I don't
have
know.
All these analysts everywhere, and to pay all of them $1 million, that's a lot of dough.
That
going
might
on.
Even be high.
You know, in Forbes, you know, the financial magazine Forbes even points out another risk, you know, for any athlete who signs on, you know, quoting them, "Athletes beware, allow stock to be traded in your name and open the door to public scrutiny." You know, that, I mean, we already know what's going on with Matt Schaub.
Yeah.
Just playing. Nobody owns him.
Yeah.
You know, other than fantasy schlubs. But,
you know, and they're always worried about, that's something, an angle I hadn't thought of either. You look at, there's always the worry, point shaving and things like this coming out of Vegas. Now you as an individual, you, Rick Briggs, as an NFL running back, are a publicly owned commodity.
Right.
You could be facing some ethical dilemmas as your career goes on, as your contract comes up, performance-enhancing drugs, things like this. I think it's a very precarious position, and it might be something the league needs to look at in terms of that.
And, okay, so you're an athlete and stock has been bought on you, you know, whatever it is, 10, 15 bucks.
Yeah.
A story comes out that you are suspended as, like you just said, for performance-enhancing drugs, and all of a sudden you're suspended, your stock plummets to $2. Now, are you liable?
Yeah.
I mean, companies are, if they're into wrongdoing, that are invested in.
That could be. Now you're worried even personal conduct. You know how Goodell loves to suspend people. You take a game away, you lose a game check, you lose endorsements because of something personal. Yeah, where's your liability there? Your insurance probably costs more than you're going to make out of this.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, do you want, as a former athlete coming out of the NFL, as we know, a lot of these guys, not only do they become analysts and stuff, they open companies of their own.
Certainly.
And have successful businesses because of their name and so forth and their expertise, obviously, from participating in the NFL. How does that affect the stock? I mean, you're making money.
Yeah. Are you limiting that? Are you
Say they set up a corporation. Now, does a corporation that you own, those earnings, they don't count as your money? So you just take, say, a $100,000 CEO salary,
right,
and then the stock only takes that.
Yeah,
I mean, there's so many.
Yeah, there's just – and I think you do. You limit your potential future partnerships. How many of these guys go into real estate? I worked for a real estate guy years ago in my previous life before I started the 9-to-5 I have now. And this guy got into deals with former local pro athletes. That's what these guys love to do. They got a bunch of cash sitting around, want to feel like they're doing something. How much of this are you limiting? Even if you're, because you can't assume there's so many pro athletes, and it's such a small percentage end up on TV, end up in coaching. So many of these guys, little smaller ventures. We've talked to athletes on this show that have their own ventures going. Had you done this, are you limiting yourself? Are you limiting your earning potential? Because if I'm going to go into business, if I'm millionaire, real estate tycoon, and you're Rick Briggs' former running back, and you're bringing with you that baggage, yeah, I want your money, but I'm not going to get involved with you. You're bringing that baggage with you. It sets up. It just makes a whole mess.
Yeah.
It's just the entire idea of basically now a player, a human being being publicly owned, I just find absurd and terrifying for both the player and the potential investors, because I don't see, at $10 a share moving up and down. I guess it's not a lot of money. People are going to do this because it's cool. I actually have a half a mind to drop $10 just to say I own a piece of Arian Foster. I'm really seriously considering it just to say it. That'd be a good tagline on the show. AsylumFootball.com, AsylumFootball@gmail.com, and a 0.001% owner of Arian Foster. That just sounds good. That looks good on our bio, but it's terrifying, and nobody's going to make any money on this.
Yeah, I agree. So, you know, we'll just have to follow that and just see how absurd it gets,
and
to be honest
with
you.
Does it build or does it just go away? But does it surprise you at all that it's Arian Foster that's involved in this? This is a weird dude. He's a hell of a running back and an amazing athlete, but he is just a weird dude. And this doesn't surprise me that this was him whatsoever.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. And, you know, either hats off to the agent or I don't know. Or maybe
short term, that $10 million fix, short term's fantastic. Talk to me in 20 years. Let's see what happens. That's what I'm curious about.
That's true.
All right.
I'll tell you what, before we get on.
We got a couple calls on the line, Rick,
before we move on.
I think I recognize this first number.
Go ahead. We'll hit the story later on.
All right. Let's get through these. We got Jersey. How you doing this morning?
Hey, gentlemen. Real good. Me and Junior, 5-1. I got two quick questions for me and two for Junior. In my situation, do I go with Rivers again? You know, Rivers has kind of been up and down the last 2 weeks. Or do I keep in Stafford? That's my first offensive question for mine. I mean, they got Rivers ranked a little higher, maybe 1 or 2 over Stafford. But based on the matchup, do you think San Diego could line up and then pull him halfway through the game, playing Jacksonville?
I like San Diego playing Jacksonville a whole lot better than Detroit playing Cincinnati. And for my money, I've got Rivers in there.
Yeah, and I think, Jersey, I think Rivers probably almost, and unless I can't think of what the matchup would be, pretty much in every week start, even over Stafford. Calvin, as he gets healthier, he has practiced all week. He's probable. But without Calvin Johnson, Matt Stafford tends to struggle a little bit. I think Phillip Rivers is an every week start, and certainly with that Jacksonville play this week, I think you get him in there and don't even worry about it.
All right, I'll do that. Now, also, in my thing, it's a PPR league. I got A.J. Green, and I got Josh Flash Gordon in there. Now, I also have Garcon, and I usually been playing Garcon. But you got to go with Green, as my number one. But do I keep Gordon in there in this PPR league? Because you get a point per reception. If you get 100 yards receiving, another 5 bonus points, you get 6 for a touchdown, point every 10 yards receiving. Do I keep Gordon in there? against Green Bay? Because, you know, the quarterback's up and down. Will you take a chance with RG3 at home with Garcon? What do you? Which one of those two do you like as my number two receiver? Let me start two receivers.
I'll let you take this one, Rick.
I'll tell you what. For me, Josh Gordon is, again, an every week start. I like Garcon. Hankerson a little more involved in the Skins offense, and I thought he'd be Garcon. Drawn that top coverage. He's a nice play every week if you could work him into a flex. I don't know what your flex situation looks like maybe there. But I think at this point, Josh Gordon has shown it doesn't matter who his quarterback is. It doesn't matter who he's playing. This guy's good for 6-7 grabs. And if he finds the end zone and hits that 100-yard mark, it's a huge week. But I think you're going to probably get more consistency out of Gordon. I love what I'm seeing out of him since he's come back.
I tend to agree. I kind of like Gordon better, especially this week. Look, Green Bay is a little weapon depleted right now. But, you know, Cleveland still, I feel, is going to have to move the ball and pass to beat Green Bay. And Washington, boy, I tell you, they're up and down. And, yeah, RG3 to me is just not the same. And they're going against that Chicago defense, which is not quite as vaunted as it was, obviously. But I think you're going to get more consistency out of Gordon.
Okay. All right, I'll definitely do that. And with Junior, he's in the PPR league. He's in the other division. He's 5-1. Right now he has Doug Martin in there and Giovanni Bernard. He also has Woodhead. The problem is it seems like Doug Martin, you know, with that Tampa Bay situation with the rookie quarterback and stuff, my son picked up that tight end, which I think will be a good play for him this week because Clay was available, so was Reed, because he has Jimmy Graham on a bye. So I think that whatever his name is, Worthington guy, whatever, I think will be a good play for him. But his running back situation, he's got three. He's got to pick two. Like I said, PPR, 10-point rushing touchdown. I think he has Martin and Giovanni Bernard in there now. Does he keep it that way? Does he have Woodhead? Because Martin, probably the time you don't start him, he'll probably go off. I know he's going against Atlanta. But what's your feel out of those three? Which two do you like based on the scoring system with that PPR, 10-point rushing touchdown for Junior?
That's so tough, Jersey. I think there's a lot of guys going to be facing this. I think playing the 2 or 3 game, Gio Bernard, I think, is definitely a lock in a PPR. It is very, very likely that Danny Woodhead, especially in a PPR format, outperforms Doug Martin. I don't, Rick, and I'll let you, maybe you do, I don't have the guts to advise you yet to bench Doug Martin. I really don't. I could grant, and we could play this back Tuesday morning, and if I did just as equal, but I just honestly, just simple based on that, I don't have the guts to recommend that Junior sit down Doug Martin, Rick.
Yeah, Doug Martin's really rapidly getting into the category of Chris Johnson and is basically a sit every week, quite frankly.
Right.
You know, I'm like, Rick, you probably spent a first-round pick on Doug Martin. And
Junior did, yep. That was your first pick.
And it's very difficult to do that. I mean, it's the old standby strategy. You know, you draft your studs, you play your studs, blah, blah, blah. But I tell you what, it has gotten to the point. And, you know, I'm like, Rick, if Atlanta's defense isn't that good, I don't have the guts. If they were going up against maybe the Kansas City defense,
then we could
something like that, I would say not a problem. But Atlanta's defense, to me, isn't that good.
Right.
I'll talk about weapon-depleted team right now. That's Atlanta. I think, you know, maybe risk it one more time with Doug Martin and see how it bears out.
Yeah, and to use your Chris Johnson metaphor there, Rick, I've seen Chris Johnson struggle like this going on 2 years about right now. I've seen Doug Martin through stretches like he has at the beginning of this year, and I've watched Doug Martin run for 200 yards, catch another 100 yards, and get in the end zone 3 times. So recently, within the last year. So believe me, Jersey, I think there's a chance Danny Woodhead outscores him, and it might be about a 49% chance. I'm just not quite ready. I don't want to have him sitting on the bench if and when he goes out, and I don't want Junior to have him sitting on the bench with me recommending him.
I agree. I think, like you, last question, I hate to bring up a defensive thing. I got two good defenses. Well, the Titans have been doing well. They're, like, ranked third in our league because of the scoring system, you know, for touchdowns and, you know, sacks and stuff like that. But I also have Cincinnati. And Cincinnati's been struggling, especially on the road. Miami's defense is available, which might not be a bad play against Buffalo, but although Buffalo runs the ball pretty good and Miami's pretty average against the run, you know what I mean? Do I take a gamble and drop Cincinnati this week to play Miami? I'm down 23-0 because the guy I'm playing, not a bad team. He got 23 from the Seattle defense, you know what I mean? So yeah. I'm playing Randle because I'm missing DeMarco Ware. You know, I got AP. You know, I got all my other guys in there. But I guess my main concern is it worth it dropping? I guess I got to keep the Titans because they're better, but I lose Titans next week on a bye. Now, next week, Cincinnati has a nice matchup against the Jets. Do I take a gamble and drop Cincinnati to plug in Miami?
Playing Tennessee. If it's me, I'm still playing Tennessee. Look, they had a pretty good week playing Seattle last week as far as defensively and scoring and so forth. They're in the top three in fantasy scoring. I think you just roll with the Titans, and then when they go on a bye, you know, go out there. If you want to drop Cincinnati and pick up Miami, go for it. You can play either defense on a bye, but I think you stick with Tennessee the whole way through.
Yeah, so I think you're good with
Cincinnati plays the Jets next week, so that's why I wanted Cincinnati for next week. You know what I mean? So I got Tennessee in there.
Yeah, I go ahead and roll Tennessee this week, sit tight with Cincinnati. Put them up against the Jets. You know there'll be a lot of turnovers to be had there next week.
Yep.
All right, Jersey, we got some coming in the chat room here, so we're going to have to get rolling here.
All right, good luck this week,
Jersey. Good luck to you guys. Thanks again. Appreciate it. Take care. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
All right, Rick, we got one more call here. It's showing up sort of strange. It's CPL2287. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How's it going?
Good. So I have two position questions. So in my first league, which I'm struggling. I think I'm 2-4. Are you guys familiar with Drew Davis, the receiver on Atlanta?
Yeah,
you're right.
Getting familiar with him, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I picked him up as kind of a hopeful. And I'm starting him right now only because of the Julio Jones and Roddy White situation, but I also have Nate Washington on my bench who I could substitute for him. Nate Washington has been really inconsistent for me. Like sometimes some games he'll put up like 15 to 20 points, and then other times he won't put up any points. So
exactly.
I don't know if I should risk keeping Davison, who may get no points, as opposed to Nate Washington, who's a little bit more experienced. So what do you think I should do for that last flex position between those two?
I'll tell you what, it's been horrifically inconsistent. But if you look at Nate Washington, he's at least on the top half of the page in fantasy scoring in a lot of categories for wide receivers at this point. Especially sitting at 2-4, I hate to see you take the risk on a Drew Davis. I don't know if it's going to be Harry Douglas. I don't know if Roddy White comes back.
Now, White's out. So
he's out. So yeah. I think it's going to be Harry Douglas. I still think everything's going to go through Tony Gonzalez. And look, I think they're going to struggle. Matt Ryan has struggled a little bit even with those with Jones in there. With Roddy White banged up even when he was playing. So I hate to see it take that chance. Nate Washington, he's a boomer bust guy, but when he booms, he booms well.
And he booms more often with Locker in there for one thing.
Yeah, Locker back this week. So keep Davis stashed, keep an eye on it. And look, he could go off this week and maybe he comes into his own, but I hate to take that risk, especially sitting at 2-4.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. You know, the thing with Washington, he at least gets touchdowns, too. So I guess it would be smart to go with Washington. Because Davis may get some catches, but in the red zone, I guess Gonzalez is going to be – Gonzalez or Rodgers, their running back, is going to be their go-to for touchdowns.
Yeah, that would be my thought. They're always looking at Tony Gonzalez inside the 20.
Yeah. All right, thanks. And then my other league, I just have a question. I have Colston on bye week, so I'm between Aaron Dobson or Vincent Brown. I have Dobson in right now. I'm a little between those two.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that's a tough call. But Vincent Brown, as well as things have been going there, hasn't really stepped up. There's been some other names that have come there. Dobson, you know, I worry we don't know 100%, I don't think, yet what Gronkowski's going to be doing. You never know with New England. It's been a down year. Boy, that's a tough call, Rick. I'm going to let you make that call. I'm struggling.
It is tough. In my mind, I just like and it's much slower with Dobson, I admit that, as far as the chemistry with Brady and these two new guys. With Gronk coming back, and he may be only 60 or 70% Gronk when he comes back, but I'll tell you what, he's going to draw a lot more attention out there than anybody else, and I think you might be better off to throw Dobson in there.
All right. Yeah, I have him starting right now, and again, I think it's really a toss-up, but I think Dobson might have the slight edge. I agree with you.
All right.
Well, we appreciate it.
It's great to hear from you. Good this week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Rick, you said we had some questions in the chat room.
Yeah, and I'm sure some of them have scrolled by and have disappeared, and we apologize for that. We got one right here, non-PPR flex, Andre Johnson, Lamar Miller, MJD, Jaleel Powell, or T.Y. Hilton?
Oh, Johnson, Miller, MJD, or Powell. I can only have one of these?
Yeah, it's a non-PPR flex.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Non-PPR, I think I'm sitting Andre Johnson, and if we get into our starts and sits, we're gonna discuss that a lot more, Rick. So Andre Johnson's out. I don't even want to talk about Lamar Miller anymore. He's to the point of hurting my feelings. He's been so bad this year.
Yeah, I just think with Indianapolis going up against Denver, I think it's almost and I hate guaranteeing these air shows because every time you predict one of those things.
The game ends 16-9.
But yeah. I just don't see it ending 16-9 with Peyton Manning back there.
No.
And I think T.Y. Hilton is probably the best bet in that situation.
Yeah, I think, you know, you think about Peyton Manning coming into town and he's got something to prove, which I don't think he does, but it's just, I think, the mindset of an athlete going back home. So you expect him to go off. I think equally as the guy who replaced him, as Andrew Luck, you want to talk about having something to prove
right
in your house in prime time with it being the Peyton Manning show. I can see Andrew Luck going off, and actually we'll get into that in our starts and sits as well. T.Y. Hilton, I think, in that group. I don't hate MJD this week. I don't hate him. I don't love him in a non-PPR format. Andre Johnson I'm worried about. Powell's interesting. Lamar Miller's out. But I'm going to agree. I think it's T.Y. Hilton or pretty much any of those Colts receivers you can get your hands on.
Yeah. And, fantasy A-team, weren't you hilarious?
They're giving you a hard time. No, you have to read that on the air. You can't
PPR flex spot, DeMarco Murray, Julio Jones, Brett Favre, Rick Briggs. Thanks.
On that list, it's Rick Briggs.
I think I had to go Brett Favre.
Rick Briggs by a nose over Brett Favre, absolutely.
Okay, we have
the second week in a row you've been a recommended start here on the inside
slant.
Yeah,
that's getting pretty bad here. Okay, half-point PPR flex, Andre Johnson, again, rearing his ugly head.
Yeah, we're
going to
have a lot of
situation.
These today, I think.
Anquan Boldin, Vincent Brown, or Obanaya?
Oh, wow. Obanaya. Half-point PPR. I'll tell you what, in this case, and I'm going to recommend to sit Andre Johnson a lot, I don't see anybody on that list that I would sit him down for. Boldin, I think, is going to struggle against that Tennessee defense who we just talked about. We talked about Vincent Brown. Obanaya is an interesting guy, but, again, you're counting on the reception strictly in the PPR format. So I'm going to count Obanaya basically as a wide receiver out of the backfield. So if you're asking me to pick which is the better receiver, even with everything going on, Andre Johnson or Chris Oogly Boogly, as he's known on this show, I'm going to go with Andre Johnson.
You know, I really like Obanaya, like you said, because you're basically counting the PPR receptions with him because
McGahee's going to get 23
carries. Exactly. So, I Andre Johnson is going to be the guy no matter who's throwing the ball. And even Larry Fitzgerald put up 1,200 yards with Skelton and some of those guys throwing to him a couple years ago. Last year, a little bit of an aberration because they were so bad. But, you know, I think I have to go with Andre Johnson as well.
No, and look, Andre Johnson in the conversation on this show for me, Rick, he's number one. He's a sit on my list, but it's going to be situational. He's not an absolute sit, and there's nobody on that list
right
particularly. But Andre Johnson, look, he's banged up, Rick. He's been dealing with the shin, and he's always hurt. You know, you have as many touchdowns, Rick,
right,
as we keep recommending you to start. You have as many touchdowns in 2013 as Andre Johnson does.
That's right. I'm right up there with one of the top guys in the league. Trent Richardson and Lamar Miller. We got to get rolling here because they're coming in and we're losing
them. Trent Richardson with a bullet.
Yeah, I definitely go. I know you're down on Lamar Miller. I actually don't mind Lamar Miller quite as bad in this Buffalo matchup, but I still think Trent Richardson, you got to get him in there. And if he keeps disappointing, bench him. He's going
right
to roll in with Chris Johnson.
I've just seen too many 9-carry-for-13-yard performances out of Lamar Miller to trust him. Richardson, at least you got a shot at the end zone.
Yeah. All right, here. Is there, come, boy.
Boy, you feverishly work in that chat room.
Josh Gordon,
okay.
Brian Hartline.
Josh Gordon, no discussion.
Yeah, I know.
I know you like Hartline, but this is Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon is a top 12 fantasy wide receiver in my book every week.
Really? With Whedon in there.
I believe, yes. I believe Scott said it, Scott Fish of FF Oasis, who will be joining us here in about 30 minutes. I believe he said the week you weren't in studio, he is pretty much matchup proof, and I agree with that. I've seen it. I agree 100%. I think we get a lot of Josh Gordon questions. Unless it's Josh Gordon, AJ Green, which I suppose is possible, the answer to me is pretty much always Josh Gordon.
Yeah, and I don't really think the questions are so much Josh Gordon as they are Brandon Whedon and Cleveland Browns.
You're right.
And, you know, I like Hartline, but he, you know, and let's face it, Miami and Tannehill aren't that consistent as well.
No,
and you still have
not.
Mike Wallace in town, and Josh Gordon is the guy in Cleveland, so I will certainly, I'll concur. Boy, that's pain.
And you like the matchup against Buffalo. They're obviously going to be able to move the ball. It looks good for Lamar Miller. It looks good for Mike Wallace. It looks good for Brian Hartline. But Josh Gordon, just to me, Rick, is a top 12. He is a number one, a low-end number one fantasy receiver.
Right. Okay, here. Man, almost had it here. Okay, let's see. Need one in PPR, pure upside, swinging for the fences.
All right, I like these.
All right, Stephen Hill, Durham, Cotchery. Wow, Marvin Jones or Cordell Patterson?
Oh, wow. Cotchery. There was a Jones in there, right? And a Cordell Patterson.
Yeah, Marvin Jones. I tell you what, boy. Cotchery has some chemistry with Ben, but I don't think you're really going to get anything explosive out of him.
Not with Heath Miller back. He was sort of, in a weird way, it's strange coming out of a receiver. He was filling that Heath Miller role the first couple games of the year, sort of the go-to, needed that tough over the middle first down, the few catches he had, was getting some red zone targets. I think it's Hill for me. Somebody's got to do it there for the Jets. I believe we recommended him last week, and he about disappeared. I think for me, that's tough. I haven't seen anything else out of any of these other guys. I think it's Hill, but, boy, it's a tough spot to be in.
Well, to me, if you're swinging for the fences, the name that sticks out to me is Cordell Patterson. And, look, I know he hasn't been spectacular this year, but I think the upside for a big game is with him over, like, a Hill or a Cotchery, someone of that nature
All right.
to me.
You know,
but, you know, I'm not talking you out of it. That's just my opinion. I think, you know, going with the question, pure upside, swinging for the fences,
okay.
I want that guy. That's the name that sticks out
All
to
right.
me.
You're right. Swinging for the fences, I guess I factored that out. You're right. 100% right, actually. It's Patterson. Hill, I think, is probably the safest play out of that. You're going to get some points out of him. But, yeah, probably if you're going to swing for the fences, then, yeah, I tend to agree with that. Much as it kills me, as it pains me to do.
Okay, now, here's an interesting question. Nice set of receivers, because he needs to set one of these.
All right.
Victor Cruz, Jordy Nelson, Josh Gordon, or Justin Blackmon?
Oh, wow. Boy, that is tough, Blackmon.
Okay, now, Nelson is surely the big guy right now with Cobb out of there.
Yeah, he's it. So Nelson's
Victor Cruz. Man, I love the matchup they got with Minnesota. Josh Gordon. I mean, we just talked about he's an everyday start. And now we have Blackmon, who's putting up 4,000 points a week.
Yeah.
So, boy, that is a tough one.
My first instinct, Rick, my gut is telling me on that list this week, as much as I like his matchup, my gut, Rick's telling me to sit Cruz there. I don't know how you do it. First couple of weeks, and he did it several times
mine
last
is
year.
Nelson.
Yeah. Now, see, I absolutely can't sit Nelson. I know he's going – well, I don't know. Even when they didn't score last week and they didn't move the ball, Nelson had that big week. He's the only game in town. I think it comes down to those two. Blackman's an every week start right now. How do you sit him down, especially with Henny still playing? Josh Gordon, I've made the argument. Believe it or not, those should be the top two. It's coming down to Cruz and Nelson for me. I'll tell you what, the upside of Cruz, the finding the end zone three times, I'm going to agree with you. You talked me into it. I think Jordy Nelson's the sit on that, which is going to sound pretty stupid if we get into our starts and sits, and he's my number one start of the week.
Yeah, it's a tough day.
What a good problem to have.
Well, it is, but it's also a bad one. To me, I'd love to have just three set 'em and forget 'em guys, and then, you know, a couple bye week fill ins. But when you got situation like that, if you've got any other receivers on your roster, I'd think about trying to deal one of these guys.
Oh, certainly.
And really strengthen your lineup.
Because this is your classic rags-to-riches situation here. The first couple weeks of the year when Gordon and Blackman were suspended, this guy was probably scratching for that third wide receiver. Now all of a sudden he's got more than he knows what to do with.
Right, exactly.
So I believe we're going to go with Nelson. Rick, before you get there, if you want to jot a few down, we got another call on the line. Area code 612. Good morning.
Morning, fellas. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. Good to hear from you.
I'm here due to some injuries and bye week here. I got to pick somebody up off the waiver wire. I'm going to have to drop Denarius Moore. I was trying to make a trade for him and get someone even for lesser value, but people realized that I was going to have to drop someone so nobody would make a trade with me. So I'm stuck between these options here. Vincent Brown going against the Jags where, you know, he put up some points against the Jaguars. Chris Durham, he's actually been getting some good targets here. I know Megatron's back, but the last few weeks he's had, I think, was 13 targets last week and then 9 the week before that, going against a stingy Bengals defense, though. Otherwise, Brandon LaFell or Jerome Simpson, hoping he catches that deep bomb from Freeman on the Monday night game.
Ooh, that's another tough one. Durham, he's interesting, but I think Megatron, he has practiced all week. He's looking probable, so I think he may be up to 85%, 90%. So I think you see his targets drop off. Vincent Brown sort of become the third option, I think, in that San Diego offense. I think, you know, for a one-week deal, if you're just looking to get out of a fix, I think you nailed it. Simpson with the ability to catch the deep ball. He can get involved in that offense, and he is the big play guy there. Rick, for me, it's Jerome Simpson. It's close, but we've seen him do it a couple times. LaFell had a nice week last week, but what separates Simpson from everyone else on that list is he's done it twice. Yeah, he hasn't done it consistently, obviously, but he's done it twice this season.
Yeah, he's actually been targeted more than Jennings there in for the Vikings.
For yeah, there's no question about that. You know, the problem I have with Simpson is just Freeman coming in. There's a lot of question marks. Now we'll go to LaFell. I don't really Carolina's been kind of iffy, but I'll tell you what, they had a game last week that was pretty monstrous. Couple that with the St. Louis defense, you know, just at first blush, yeah, they killed Houston last week. They were outgained by a mile, you know, by that Houston offense last week, and yet they turned around and won. I don't think they're going to do that to Carolina. And I tell you what, to me, it's starting to look like Cam Newton's getting on track. And I don't know. I would lean on Brandon LaFell.
So we can't get you consensus there. I think LaFell's close. I think he's close. So he tends to get more red zone targets, I think, than Simpson, even more than Steve Smith. He does get looked at there. LaFell, it's close. I like Simpson. So I think the answer is going to be the upside. If you're looking for the big splash at Simpson, LaFell's probably your safest
and
player.
And here's one other thing just in my mind to consider. You got Josh Freeman going to Minnesota. He's new in this system. A guy like Jennings is certainly, to me, someone like a fairly young quarterback and new to a system might lean on. He's more of a veteran. He's not the huge, you know, splash play guy like a Simpson is. And I think maybe the targets for Jennings are going to be there a little more than Simpson, especially early on for Minnesota.
All righty. Well, thanks for the insight, fellas.
All right, thanks. Good to hear
from
you.
You guys have a good fantasy day.
You too.
You too.
All right, Rick, anything else in the chat room? We want to jump into some starts and sits.
Well, we got a standard question.
Okay.
Kembrel Tompkins or Greg Jennings? We were just talking about Greg Jennings.
I think, again, I think you're looking upside with the Freeman factor. I like your point on Jennings being probably if you were looking for a guy to lean on, he would be that guy. I think they're starting to get things put together there a little bit in New England that fourth quarter last week against the Saints. I think I'd take Tompkins there. I'm assuming this is a bye week situation. This isn't an every week
most
thing.
Most likely, I would assume.
I go for the upside of Kembrel Tompkins there.
Yeah, I think I'd have to go there. Greg Jennings, to me, has been underwhelming, but you know maybe it's not Greg Jennings' fault, and maybe him and Freeman will certainly rapidly develop chemistry. But
yeah.
I think I'm going to have to
you don't know.
See one. You know, and they got a pretty good matchup against the Giants D, but I still like Tompkins, I think, in this one as well. So we'll go with that. And we got another one, a PPR.
All right.
More of your favorites, Tompkins again.
Here we get a lot of Kambrell Tompkins questions.
And your buddy Alshon Jeffrey from the Bears.
Wow. You know how I feel about Alshon Jeffrey.
I'll tell you what, to me, it's not even close.
I know it's not close for you. I know where you're going. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to agree with you in this situation.
Against that Washington defense, yeah. I mean, it's Jeffrey all day, all night, all week long.
Yeah, and let's use this as a transition, Rick. My start of the week is Jay Cutler this week, going up against the Skins, dead last versus fantasy quarterbacks in the league this year. Brandon Marshall, I think, going to have a big game, but I don't think you're going to see another one-catch performance out of Alshon Jeffrey. So I'm going to agree with you there. I'm still not a huge Alshon Jeffrey fan, but that matchup, I'll take him.
Against the Washington D, and New England's going against New York Jets, so I don't. You know, to me, it's not hard. Hey, we are Fligger and Briggs. This is the Asylum Sunday Morning Inside Slant, and you can hear us on Blog Talk Radio. You can hit archived listens from AsylumFantasyFootball.com, and we will be moving to Thursday, the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show, and you will hear us on the Armed Forces Radio Network, and give them a follow at the AFRN on Twitter.
Yeah, important to note, it's the Tuesday show moving to Thursday. The slant will stay right where
right,
it's at
exactly.
Week after week as the momentum grows for this show. Having a great time. I have more fun doing this show, Rick, than I thought I would. This is a blast. I love all the interaction.
Yeah.
So, Rick, I gave Jay Cutler as a start. I don't think any need to break that down anymore. Who's your top guy this week? Who's your top start?
My top start this week is Phillip Rivers against Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think.
You know, look, I'm. It's easy to bash Jacksonville at 0-6. You know, but you know they put up a pretty good fight against Denver. I'm not so sure that they weren't trying to prove something that game. They proved that they could play, but I actually see a little bit of a letdown. And I like Rivers against him.
And I think, Rick, are we to the point now? We've discussed this probably 4 weeks in a row, three at minimum. Is Jay Cutler a question anymore? Or I got Jay Cutler on the mind. Is Phil Rivers even a question anymore? Yeah, we get a Jersey has. Who's Jersey, the other quarterback Jersey have? I know we discuss it with him every week. And I think the answer keeps being, excuse me, it continues to be Phil Rivers. Now, you could have him as a backup behind, an Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, somebody like that. Maybe it's a question. For me, by and large, if you're not a Peyton Manning, Drew Brees owner, Aaron Rodgers owner, I think Phil Rivers isn't even a question anymore.
No, I don't believe so either. I think he's behind Peyton Manning. I believe he's behind Brees, like you said. I would say maybe Cam Newton if he continues, but you know, consistency wise, I still like Phillip Rivers. You know, surprisingly, Sam Bradford is a very high scoring quarterback, but you know, in my mind, do you trust him?
No, I can't.
And yet he's in the top 10 in fantasy scoring.
Yeah, it's impressive to see.
But no, Phillip Rivers is I don't know what brought that to mind, but I've just, you know, he just kind of surprised me. But no, I really think that Rivers, it really isn't a question mark right now. I mean, if you got him on your roster, you should be starting him.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's jump to a sit this week, Rick. We'll keep it with the quarterback. For me, I think it's time. Finally, you talk about Sam Bradford, you talk about Phil Rivers, some of these guys you can have as a number two. Eli Manning, Rick, even though that's a tasty little matchup against the Vikings, 9 touchdowns, 15 interceptions this year. He is in some kind of funk. You see guys have this kind of year. Maybe he can put it together, but he's going to be on my bench until he does. But Eli Manning, he's going to be tempting with this Vikings matchup this week. I'm sitting Eli.
Yeah, he's one of these kind of guys that can explode and bite you, but so can Chris Johnson. And right now, you have to have him on your bench.
Every week.
And if you drafted Eli, I have to assume either A, you drafted a Rodgers or somebody like that earlier for your quarterback one, or B, you drafted way down in the draft and got an Eli and maybe a Ben.
Right.
Something on that line, maybe even a Rivers. Man.
Right.
So now you don't even have a problem.
Yeah,
but if you went, say,
that.
Freeman, Eli, something like that, you know, you're in a dilemma. But, yeah, unless you have, I don't know, a Whedon or a Freeman or someone like that, yeah, you probably ought to be sitting Eli every week.
Yeah, I agree. So somebody you're going to sit this week, Rick.
Somebody I'm going to sit right now is Ray Rice.
Wow.
And let's face it, I'm not saying, you know, depending on your running back stable, but, you know, we've hit the Chris Johnson thing. And that kind of thing. Ray Rice is averaging like 34 yards a game.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
Going against Pittsburgh, you know, pretty stout defense. Giving up some rushing game or rushing yards this year, I understand that. But I'm just saying Ray Rice really has to be taken a hard look at. If you've drafted depth, and we have to assume owners have drafted some depth. Now, if you've got injury problems so far, obviously he's a must-start.
Right, certainly.
I'm saying – you have to look hard if you're balancing Ray Rice and, say, D'Angelo Williams.
That was Ricky, you read my mind. I was going to ask you, Ray Rice or D'Angelo Williams?
Yeah, and right now, I think I would go D'Angelo Williams.
It's risky. I tend to agree. I think I started especially
Jaquizz
this
Rogers.
Week.
See, there's a guy that you had stashed on your bench, and now Jackson's out and so forth. You're starting to look. Look at the point totals the last few weeks, you know, comparatively. So, yeah, to me, Ray Rice is – you have to look very hard at starting him.
Ray Rice, Fred Jackson.
Oh, Jackson.
Yeah, I think.
No
doubt. So I think you're seeing Ray Rice down in, what, the 25 to 30 range of fantasy running backs, especially this week?
Yeah, and no doubt about it. And, I mean, some of these guys, you have NoSean Moreno. Trying to think of some other guys that
I take
are really –
NoSean in that. In
oh,
that
no
matchup.
Doubt.
Willis McGahee, Ray Rice.
Right now, that's a coin flip, and momentum's building towards McGahee because, let's face it, he just started 3 weeks ago. He's getting into game shape.
Yeah.
And as the season wears on, providing he stays healthy, I think maybe Willis McGahee may start because he's certainly going to get the work. He's going to get the carries. And Bernard Pierce is getting more work with Baltimore. I would be not surprised in the next 2 or 3 weeks, McGahee may be a start over him.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's tough to see. And I think if he gets going, if Ray Rice gets going, you see Baltimore get going. We've seen stretches even when they were good the last couple of years. Ray Rice would disappear for a couple of stretches, lack of work. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on. Rick, let's jump to the watch list here. The first one I have, somebody I want to keep an eye on, have a little discussion about Le'Veon Bell versus Baltimore this week. Eddie Lacy had a huge week against Baltimore last week. Granted, one big run padded those numbers a little bit. Le'Veon Bell, you look at the numbers, the production's been low, but his touches have been high. He's involved in the pass game. He's getting the bulk of the carries. He's going to get the red zone. He's going to get the goal line carries. Le'Veon Bell, maybe he's working into game shape. There's just a terrible, terrible offensive line there in Pittsburgh. Le'Veon Bell creeping into – I'd start him over a Ray Rice, I think. He's a guy I'm just keeping an eye on. I don't want to recommend him as an absolute start because I have written down here lots of touches / low production, and that's what I'm seeing. Do we see the production start to increase with the touches he's getting? Is this guy creeping into an every-week play?
Yeah, I mean, that is a good watch. And it kind of similarly, maybe not quite as much because he's actually been fairly productive, is Belil Powell.
Yeah,
and going against New England. And, you know, you keep an eye on him. He start creeping into a flex spot, RB3, depending on how your league works and so forth. But, you know, Belil Powell, you know, not been all that bad. He's averaging over 4 yards a carry, actually 4.7 creeping up towards, 4.1. But still, he's over 4 yards a carry, 360 yards. Not all that impressive, but, you know, there's not a whole lot on the Jet offense. And, you know, just keep an eye on him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So what do we got? We got about 10 minutes before Scott comes in here. Let's do a little rapid fire through start, sit, and watch, Rick, without a lot of breakdown. And I want to pick this week's games before we get to 11 o'clock. So real quick, Rick, a start for me, a guy we get a lot of questions on, Eddie Lacy, Rick, as we talk about becoming every week starts. This guy's in the role now, getting 20-plus carries, and especially this week versus Cleveland. We talk about how stout Cleveland's defense is, and it's true. What you don't know is Cleveland gives up the fifth most fantasy points to running backs. So from a fantasy standpoint, you can have success against Cleveland as good as that defense has been. Eddie Lacy, especially this week, but I think every week is a start.
Yeah, I certainly like the Eddie Lacy start, no question about that. And we have a very interesting question for you know, for the machine when Scott gets here, involving Eddie Lacy and another running back. And I think it's you know, bears some discussion because it's a pretty tough one. But yeah, I mean, he's a great start, I think. Another start that I have, and you know, I think Eric Decker is going to be a great start tonight.
We haven't mentioned his name a lot, and kid's getting it done this year. We talked about him being the odd man out. What turns out is that Demaryius Thomas is actually, his numbers have been more disappointing. Eric Decker, been a go-to guy. I really thought with the style similar to Wes Welker, it'd be Decker that suffered. It really hasn't been. And yet I think that's the first time we've mentioned his name on this show.
Yeah, and I think do well to get him in. And I don't think you've got him on the bench.
Well,
I wouldn't doubt anything on Denver offense is in your lineup.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just like what he's been doing.
Yeah.
He really hasn't suffered all that much.
No question about it, Rick. The next sit for me, and I'll just read what I wrote down. Dwayne Bowe versus Houston. Enough said.
Yeah.
That's my notes. Enough said. I'm not going to break it down.
Surprisingly, Houston is number one in total defense. Now, what does that say about what is going on with the offense and the turnovers?
How bad that is, exactly.
I mean, they are number one in total defense, and they are just getting destroyed by pick sixes, coughing up the football, just horrible offensive play. And if you'd have told me that it'd be week one, I'd have said no way.
Yeah.
Unless they were devastated by injuries, I'd say not a chance. And it is just, I mean, they've gotten to the point where they've gone through the first two quarterbacks.
Right. Yeah, and in Case Keenum time.
Yeah,
in Houston.
Case Keenum time.
All right, Rick, someone you're going to sit.
Someone I am going to sit, and, you know, I hate to say it, but it's hard to say when you're telling a sit, because a lot of guys don't understand what they have on their bench, you know. But just
right
as a sit of the week, you know, I got to go Case Keenum. I mean, you're not going to have him in there. No, I'm going to go Andre Johnson.
Yeah,
I'm just going with the Houston thing.
Again, it's going to depend on who's behind it. I'm sure we've got a ton of questions coming up. We've already had a ton of Andre Johnson questions, and it's been about 50-50. We recommend just go ahead and stick with him. But there's plenty of guys out there you can start him over. Real quick, last thing on the watch list, Rick, I hopped out on the island on my own. You roundly mocked me, made fun of me, poked at me.
Well, yeah, do that anyway.
Chad Henne this week against San Diego, 300 yards last week versus Denver. San Diego, pretty much the absolute worst pass defense in the league in most statistical categories. Blackman going well, Shorts going well. Chad Henne, maybe if you're an Eli Manning owner, the waiver wire's thin. Chad Henne's a guy I'd plug and play this week against San Diego.
Well, your love affair continues with Chad Henne. And we're going to start calling you Rick Henne.
Rick Henne.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think maybe we'll just call you or Chad Fleeger, one of the two. I'm not sure which.
I went to school with a Chad Fleeger. We weren't related, but I didn't care for him. So let's go for Rick Henne.
I like Chad Fleeger then, since you don't like him.
No, but he's a soccer player, you know.
Oh, okay.
You don't want to associate with that.
All right. Well, let's run through the schedule here
and
get some quick predictions before we bring Scott in.
All right. Let me bring it up here, Rick.
We have Seattle, go ahead. You got the.
Right. I'll read it off. We didn't even break down Seattle versus Arizona. Arizona's a freaking disaster, I think. Carson Palmer, way worse than expected. Seattle, beast mode. God, I love watching that kid play football.
Real quick, we talked. You know, who did they remind you of? I was actually talking to my brother about this yesterday. Arizona offense, who does it remind you of? Real quick, Pittsburgh Steelers. They can't run. They can't pass protect. And it's just horrible. They cannot run the football. They had, I think, 23 rushes for 30 yards, something like that, against Seattle. And Carson Palmer was running for his life. I mean, this is a guy that threw 4,000 yards last year for a bad team.
Right.
And he can't get anything going because he's running for his life. And let's face it, Carson Palmer can't run for his life like a lot of other quarterbacks can.
He doesn't have that ability. Rick, I think Seattle probably getting into the discussion with 1B to Denver's 1A is the best team in the NFL right now. I'd like to see a Denver-Seattle game.
Oh, I think it very well could happen. But actually, if you check me out on the Silent Fantasy Football, the Briggs blog, I actually had Seattle beating Arizona 27-16, and I think it was 34-22, so I wasn't too far off.
Close enough. So let's try to get through these, Rick, real quick. We got 6 minutes before we get Scott in of FFOasis.com. Tampa Bay at Atlanta.
Well, they're in Atlanta. Atlanta's coming off a bye. I know they're weapon depleted. Their defense isn't that good. But to me, Tampa Bay isn't in any better shape. And I like Atlanta, 35-23.
I'm going to go the other way, Rick. I think just too much influx there. I think in a couple weeks as they get used to the weapons around them, Matt Ryan could get better. I like Tampa Bay. They've been able to move the ball. I think Vincent Jackson has a big game. He's just too big of a name to have mentioned in start. I'm going to say Tampa Bay squeaks one out here on the road in Atlanta.
All right.
So, Rick, St. Louis at Carolina.
St. Louis at Carolina. Now, that is a good game. And I'll tell you what, I actually had some stats written down with Carolina. That I don't know what I did with.
It doesn't matter.
But anyway, I like Carolina. You know, St. Louis got, like I said to the one caller, they were outgained by a boatload by Houston. A lot of turnovers and so forth, and it looked like they just destroyed Houston. I don't think that's going to happen to Carolina. I like Carolina 31, St. Louis 20.
Yeah, I agree. Carolina seems to be getting it going well in what's becoming, after New Orleans, a wide-open division down there. I'm going to go with Carolina at home. But I think in a I got a sloppy game vibe. It seems like a game as well as St. Louis played last week, as well as Carolina played. You think it would be a well-played game. I'm thinking a sloppy game, and I think Carolina pulls it out at home, Rick. Cincinnati at Detroit, that's an interesting game with Megatron back healthy.
It is very interesting game. Cincinnati's one of these teams, you start believing in them, they lay an egg. Then you think, okay, back to Cincinnati again, then they play like gangbusters. Detroit's not – they're the same way. Last year, season-wide, they were horrible, and this year they're picking back where they were a couple years ago. I'm going a real close game. I got Cincinnati 27 on the road, Detroit 26.
I think it's tough. You know, I think that division, the North wide open there in the AFC. I just got a vibe, Rick, to your point. You never know what you're going to get without it with Cincinnati. I like Detroit this week. I like Reggie Bush running wild on Cincinnati. So we're disagreeing a lot here. I'm going to go with Detroit.
Okay.
San Diego at Jacksonville. Do we even need to discuss it?
Well, obviously you do. You know, Jacksonville did prove one thing last week that, you know, they're not quitting on the season and they're playing for some pride and, you know, some players actually playing for positions probably next year. But I just don't think they have the team, and I like San Diego 33-20.
Yeah, I like a high-scoring game. My boy Rick Henney putting up some big numbers, Blackman, all the weapons in Jacksonville. I think in the end San Diego just has too much, and you always have to worry about them going across the country like that. Probably makes it a closer game than it should be, but I like San Diego. We got about 3 minutes left. Let's try to hit these a little quicker here. Buffalo at Miami.
I like Miami by a touchdown.
Yeah, I'll agree. I think that's going to be another good game, but I like Miami at home. New England at the Jets, always a close game at the Jets.
Yeah, they don't like each other. I think New England's a little better offensively than they were the first meeting. That first game was like one of the worst I ever saw. I believe it was 13-10. I like New England 24-13.
Yeah, I think they're getting it going again, and I like New England as well in a close game. Dallas at Philadelphia. This game could be played in the hundreds, I think.
Yeah, make sure Dallas and Philadelphia, you have them in your lineup. I like Dallas. I got 37-27 over Philly.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to go, if you can call it an upset on the road. This is the kind of game Dallas loses. They're starting to get a hold of that division a little bit, looking like the best team in the division. This is the kind of game they lose. I think they go up to Philadelphia. Philadelphia finds a way. Nick Foles has a huge week, and I think Philadelphia finds a way to win this game at home. The Bears travel to Washington, D.C.
I like Chicago. I think it's going to be closer than what I would have, a couple weeks ago, but I like Chicago by a touchdown.
Yeah, I don't see Washington being able to do what they need to do against that Bears defense. I think you see some defensive scoring there out of Chicago being the difference in that game. San Francisco at Tennessee, what you would think would be a good game looking at it in the preseason, suddenly looks really interesting.
Yeah, and especially after watching Tennessee playing Seattle awful tough last week, and Seattle is dominating. And I got San Francisco, by a touchdown. I think it's going to be a good game.
I got it the other way. I got Tennessee with a field goal at the end.
Ooh, there we go.
So we are all over the map here. Real quick, Rick, Cleveland to Green Bay.
Green Bay.
Yeah, I don't think Cleveland good enough to go to Lambeau and win. Houston at Kansas City. Does Kansas City stay undefeated?
Kansas City stays undefeated. I got them by double digits over Houston. I think they're a mess right now.
Yeah, I think if the quarterback situation was different, that's primed for an upset special, but not with Case Keenum. Baltimore at Pittsburgh.
I got Pittsburgh by a field goal. Maybe call me a homer, but I got a feeling they played pretty good last week. Baltimore is very iffy right now, so I think Pittsburgh, they're in up against the wall. A loss, until they get to around 500, a loss ends the season, I'm taking them by a field goal.
I agree. I think Pittsburgh finds a way to get this done there. They're getting things going a little bit there. Game of the week, Rick, Denver at Indianapolis.
I have Denver by 10.
Yeah, I think it's a big game. I think Peyton Manning in this situation goes home and does what Peyton Manning does. And on Monday night, Rick, as I'll get a hold of Scott here, Minnesota at the Giants.
Now, this is an interesting game. There's been a lot. In fact, I've seen it on Twitter. I've seen it in the chat room actually today. There's some varying opinions. A lot think that New York is primed to get their first win. Other ones say that Minnesota is going to walk all over them. I'm one of these guys. I think New York's going to step up and get their first win. And, I'm not really convinced with Josh Freeman walking in as a first start. And I like the Giants, 28-17.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think the Giants find a way to get it done. They're too good of a team to be that bad.
So are that bad.
Well, they certainly are. So, Rick, I think it's time to bring in the machine, Scott Fish of FFOasis.com. Scott, how you doing today?
Doing good, doing good. Glad to be on the Briggs and Henny show this morning.
I like that. We may change it to that. Am I completely crazy with this sudden man crush I have on Chad Henne?
No, you're not. You're not. I actually have him in my personal league of consequence, where I've had Matt Ryan lose a bunch of people, and it was on bye last week. I started Henne last week. I think I might start him over Ryan this week.
As you soundly mocked him last week, I'm appalled at your turncoat status here, Scott.
Oh, well, I don't know. I just I've seen the light, maybe.
That's right.
No, I mean, I agree. There's certainly I like Henne in Jacksonville, especially with Blackman in there. We saw it last year. They really started moving the ball, and I like the chemistry that they have. It may, if Schwartz is healthy, which I'm not sure what his real health is, but I know he's questionable last time I checked. But when he's healthy and Blackman's healthy, you know, it is a different team out there.
And it's good to have Blackman with that. Henne has a crazy crush on him. I know you saw the amount of targets, but if you watch the game, Blackman also dropped 2 touchdown passes. So it could have been even crazier.
That's true.
All right, Rick, well, why don't we jump right in? I don't know. We'll get the machine involved. We'll put somebody out on an island here before it's all said and done, I'm sure. Let's get right into it.
You got
it. As you scramble feverishly to find the question.
Oh, I've got it.
Like this was a surprise to you.
Had under all the – in fact, I actually had to get rid of one of my stories, which I thought was quite interesting.
It probably wasn't.
No, it was. But, we are Fleeger and Briggs. This is the Asylum Fantasy Inside Slant, and you can hear us on Blog Talk Radio and AsylumFantasyFootball.com, soon to be on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Give them a follow at the AFRN. And here is the first question, and this is a good one. This is the top one that I sent out. Gio Bernard or Eddie Lacy in a standard format?
Oh, boy. We get that question every week, I feel like. Bernard or Lacy? In a standard, it's Lacy with a bullet. In a PPR, I think it's still Lacy. I'd like to know who their other running back is.
Could be for a flex or something.
Yeah,
but
I think it's Eddie Lacy.
Well, the machines – sorry, I didn't mean to jump in on you there. I noticed a pause, so I just thought I'd go out. Lacy – the machine has Lacy barely – and personally, I'm with you on the bullet thing. I think it's Lacy with a bullet and none, and I don't even think it's close in PPR. I have Geo in PPR, so this one's none. I'm going Lacy.
Yeah, I like Lacy's workload, to be honest with you. To be honest, I kind of like Bernard going against Detroit, but of course, in PPR, it's a slam dunk. There's no question about that for Bernard. Lacy's certainly going to get the workload, and I think in standard, I probably have to lean that way. But to me, it's close.
Yeah, I don't think it is. If you look at the workload, they're working him into the Cedric Benson role last year that you touted so much. We had the biggest fight in the history of the show over Cedric Benson, if I recall. He's getting those carries. He's finding a way in a pass-first offense. And now, especially with all the injuries at the wide receiver position, I think he becomes even more and more involved. If he would get involved in the passing game at some point, Rick, you're talking about a low-end number one fantasy running back.
Yeah, I agree. But, like I said, in standard, it's Lacy, but I just think it's closer. He's working more and more into that offense. So, but, we all went with Lacy,
right,
so it doesn't matter
somehow
how
we managed
much
to argue with an agreement by how much.
Exactly.
I love it.
Okay, and here is one that, and Scott, this one's going to surprise you. I just got it this morning. Bradford, are you still there? I think we lost Scott here.
Oh, am I here still?
There
we go. Yep. Right. Sorry about that.
Like I said, this one's probably going to surprise you, so I'll let you gather your thoughts and I'll ramble on. But Bradford or Kaepernick? And I thought about this. I'm looking. Bradford's at Carolina. Kaepernick's at Tennessee. Both those defenses are basically right next to each other. Tennessee gives up about 223 yards per game passing. Carolina, 210. Kaepernick, 203 yards a game passing, 8 touchdowns, 5 picks. Bradford's 238 a game. He's got 13 touchdowns and only 3 picks. And, looking at that, you think, okay, I like Bradford better, but then you have the 172 yards rushing that Kaepernick has. This is a very tough question. Tennessee defense gives up about 4.4 yards per carry. Rushing-wise, Carolina, 3.8. And this is, boy, I tell you, it is a coin flip and a half when it gets right down to it. Tennessee's defense is pretty tough. Carolina's defense. For me, I think I would just gamble with Sam Bradford this week.
Wow. Yeah. Oof. I don't have the guts. I can see, and you lay out a decent argument, and I don't like Kaepernick's matchup. I don't like them going across the country to Tennessee. I don't have the guts to sit calling Kaepernick versus Sam Bradford. So this is the second time. Apparently I should be gutless Rick Henny is what should be my name. There may be plenty of good reason for it. I don't have the guts. I'm going to go with Kaepernick there.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to put Briggs on an island here because the machine says Kaepernick by a decent margin, and not a huge margin, but a decent margin. And I'm with you. I can't start Bradford over Kaepernick. I gotta trust a little more in that. The matchups are close, but I want the rushing yards of Kaepernick. I think he's going to do a little more. But yeah, tough question.
That's just pathetic. That's all I can tell you. You guys just don't agree with me. It's just pathetic. I'm going to go out in the island proudly as Sam Bradford sinks.
I hope a coconut falls on your head. So, Rick, before we move on, we got a call on the line. Area code 240. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Dwight. How you doing?
Great. How's it going, Dwight?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm in a standard league. And I need a receiver and a running back and a flex. I have Gio Bernard, Fred Jackson, and T.Y. Hilton. I need two or three.
Oh.
Now, are you in standard or PPR? I didn't catch that.
Standard.
I think it's Fred Jackson and T.Y. Hilton, to be honest with you.
Oh, how do you sit Bernard in a PPR format?
But he said it's standard.
Oh, he said it was standard.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
Listen
then
to the man.
I'm sorry. It's Fred Jackson and T.Y. Hilton then. Scott?
I think I'm going to lean the same. Fred Jackson and T.Y. Hilton. If it was PPR, it'd be Bernard and Hilton. But, yeah, Fred and T.Y. in standard.
All right. We managed to come up with a consent.
And I just got it through, and the machine agrees, Fred and T.Y., so... Oh.
Four for four.
Thanks a bunch.
All right.
Hey, thank
good
you.
Good to hear from you. Good luck this week. All right, Rick, on to the next question.
All right. This one I thought was very interesting. It needs a flex position in PPR. Stevie Johnson, Anquan Boldin, or Harry Douglas?
Oh, wow. Stevie Johnson, Bolden, or Douglas. We've gotten the whole way through our sits, Rick. I have Bolden as a sit this week as Tennessee only gets up about 10 fantasy points per game to wide receivers. Harry Douglas, boy, I don't know what I'm going to get. Stevie Johnson banged up. I'm going to go with the splash play here. Maybe I'm crazy. I'm going to go with the splash play of Harry Douglas. I think he's going to get the bulk of the targets. When Roddy White was slowed at the beginning of the year, Julio Jones struggled a little bit coming out of the gate as well. Harry Douglas got a lot of looks. I'm going to take a risk there, and I'm going to play Harry Douglas.
I tell you what, I thought I may throw myself out on an island there, but you know what? Stevie Johnson's been nursing that ailing back. I don't like Anquan Bolden, especially this week, and Harry Douglas is basically stepping into number one role, actually. So, you know, he's going to be taking the top coverage, which kind of concerns me, but I still think Harry Douglas is the play.
Wow. Well, I guess all three of us are going to be splashing in the pool with Harry Douglas this week. The machine says Bolden by a slight margin over Douglas, and Stevie's way behind. But, yeah, I'm with you guys. Douglas is the guy.
All right. Well, let's hit the chat room here. They need two running backs and a flex from Gore, Morris, Trent Richardson, Marino, and Bernard, but it's non-PPR. So to me, that throws Bernard out. I got to get Marino in there.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's number one.
A touchdown machine. I just lost my chat room. Oh. But I think I got to go.
So Marino, and I think it's Morris, Rick, isn't it? I think it's
Gore, Morris. I like Gore, Morris, and Marino for the three positions.
I might go Marino, Morris, and Richardson. I know it's a little crazy. I really think San Francisco struggles today in Tennessee. So we'll agree on Marino and Morris. I'm going to go with Trent Richardson over Gore. And being a standard format, I, too, am going to throw Bernard out.
All right. I'm with you. I'm going Morris, Richardson, and Marino. And I was trying to get the machine to answer the question real quick, but apparently it's going to be slow. So, yeah, I'm with you guys on that. Okay, the machine says Moreno, Morris, and, oh, Richardson, same. So
I'm on an island again with Frank Gore.
Another coconut falls on the head of Rick Briggs.
Yeah, that's okay.
That might explain the lack of hair.
It could be.
Been beat off.
That just could be.
Can you say that on the radio?
Okay. We have... Uh-oh, I hear the old clicking, clacking on your end again, Scott.
So there's, I'm still here. My connection seems to be a little bit loose on this $10 microphone.
Okay, we have a PPR wide receiver three choice. Terrence Williams or Julian Edelman?
Williams, Edelman. I think it's got to be PPR, did they say?
Yes, PPR.
I think it's Edelman in a PPR.
You know what? Boy, I tell you. I may be on an island again, but Dallas going against Philadelphia, and Edelman against the Jets. Yeah, I think I might gamble with Terrence Williams.
Wow. Did you say PPR? I'm sorry, I missed that. Yeah. PPR. Oh, wow, that is tough. My smart money says Julian Edelman, and Terrence Williams, that guy can't break a tackle to save his life, but he's still putting up fantasy points somehow. I think I'm going to lean Edelman. I just think he's going to get more receptions. If it was standard, I might go Williams for the touchdown, but I'm going to go with Edelman with the receptions.
Yeah, even in PPR, I think I'm going Williams against that Philadelphia defense. I don't know. Edelman's scary, and with Gronk coming back and they're playing the Jets, you know, it could be – feast or famine with him, so I think I'd gamble with Williams.
Well, that point spread is 55.5 over, and sharps are loving the over on that game, so there should be a lot of points. So,
what's the machine say?
The machine says Edelman, actually by a pretty dang large margin.
Well, you need another to get
yourself
coconut.
You need to get yourself a helmet.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm liking this today. All right, you know. You heard it here first. Briggs is putting himself on an island. All right, here's a trade question. And I was offered this trade in a PPR league. And it's 6 points for all touchdowns. Matt Forte for Calvin Johnson. My running backs are MJD, Chris Johnson, Daryl Richardson, and Eddie Lacy. My wide receivers are Vincent Jackson, Kembrel Tompkins, Justin Blackman, Brian Hartline, and Devon Bess.
So he's giving up Forte.
He's giving up Calvin for Forte.
So he has V-Jax, Tompkins. Who are the rest of those wide receivers?
Blackman, Hartline, and Bess.
I'll tell you what, I'd do it.
I would too, in a heartbeat. With that stable running backs doing nothing other than maybe Lacy, there's not a whole lot of upside there. I would certainly bring in Matt Forte.
Yeah, I think I feel better starting Forte, Richardson, and Lacy along with V-Jax and Justin Blackman than I do starting MJD, Richardson, Lacy, and then Calvin with V-Jax and or Blackman. You can't work them all into your lineup. I think I make that deal.
Yeah, I think I read it wrong initially. I thought he was getting Calvin, but if he's getting Forte, I love that deal for him. That's he really needs that help at running back. I don't trust Chris Darrell or Maurice Jones-Drew, so I'd definitely do it.
Okay. Well, gee, we're all in agreement.
All right.
That's amazing. You don't
want to throw yourself out on your own, say something absurd again.
I already said what I said. Just followed the bandwagon. That's it. Okay, here's
in
the chat room here. Keenan Allen over Jordy Nelson. Sounds crazy, but Hayden plays better D and Cobb is gone. What do you think?
Keenan Allen or Jordy? Boy, I just can't sit Jordy Nelson this week. I know he's going to draw top coverage. He's the only game in town right now, and Aaron Rodgers is still his quarterback. I love Jordy Nelson this week. As tempting as Allen is, I can't do it. I can't pull the trigger.
Now, see, as much as everybody's saying, well, you know, upset special, Jacksonville, blah, 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 you know, they played Denver tough. I'm liking San Diego offense against them, and I think Keenan Allen is very intriguing, and I think I just might do it.
Well, the machine says Jordy Nelson by a couple points. I'm going to say Keenan Allen. I believe in the guy. I think he's a true number one, and I think this could be one of those days where Rodgers spreads it around because the defensive backs are so decent in Cleveland that he tries to move it around a little bit. I like Keenan Allen.
Okay.
50-50 split, 50-50, so a lot of help we did there. You're welcome in the chat room.
And here's one that I thought was quite interesting. We were talking about Eli earlier. Okay, you got now what do we got?
I don't know.
Hey, Scott goes into the dentist office. And Stafford versus Cincinnati at home or Eli at home against Minnesota?
Anybody but Eli. It's Stafford for me. Nothing more than that.
I think I'm not sitting Matt Stafford either. So as tempting as Eli at Minnesota tends to be, I still like Matt Stafford. Basically, top five or top six quarterback in my mind.
Wow. I'm tempted to take Eli just because I know Minnesota doesn't know how to defend anything. But the machine does take Eli. I'm also going Stafford. I think that he slightly edges out Eli, especially if there's some negative points on turnovers.
Yeah, that's true. Here's one. I actually sent a note to Scott in the email that we may want to try to help this guy out with some trade suggestions because right now he's in a world of hurt. But pick three out of these five. For a wide receiver, 1, 2, and a flex.
All right.
It's PPR. You have Mike Wallace,
okay.
Brandon LaFell, Emmanuel Sanders, Riley Cooper, Vincent Jackson. Okay, that's not too bad. But my running backs are Chris Johnson, Jonathan Stewart, C.J. Spiller, Monty Ball, and David Wilson.
Ooh.
I have to start two, so that's why I'm going with these wide receivers for the flex spot because, you know, obviously he's got probably Spiller and probably Chris Johnson to start. Period.
Yeah, I think that's what you have there.
Which is why, you know, I think you might want to package, you know, one of these wide receivers to try to get a running back into your stable here a little bit because you basically don't have much to start with.
Yeah, it's tough. He was solid.
In PPR, I mean, I'll take this since you were writing down. You can look at it real quick. In my mind, Vincent Jackson's a must-start. I've got to go with Mike Wallace just because of the big playability. And, yeah, he's actually having a few games with quite a few receptions. And then it comes down to Brandon LaFell, Emmanuel Sanders, or Riley Cooper. Cooper's too far down on the list for me with Philadelphia. I know he had a big game last week. That I don't know. I think I'd have to roll with Brandon LaFell. He seems to be working more and more into this as the wide receiver, too, for Carolina. And it just seems to be Carolina's M.O. in the second half of the season. They start cranking up a little bit. So I'd have to go Wallace, LaFell, and Vincent Jackson.
I'm going to agree with B. Jackson, Mike Wallace. I think that's pretty easy. It also comes down to LaFell and Sanders for me. As Antonio Brown is developing into more of a possession-type receiver, I like what Emmanuel Sanders can do over the top. You saw it last week, finally. You know, in a PPR format, I don't know that he holds much value over LaFell in a PPR format. I like him on a team like this. You're looking for a splash. I like the upside of Emmanuel Sanders. I'm going to go with Manny Sanders there, but it's close.
Well, I think Vincent Jackson is a clear-cut fit, number one. I can't see sitting him. I'm also with Mike Wallace as the number two wide receiver. And if I have to pick a wide receiver, I think I'd go Sanders, number three. But I would almost recommend starting a running back in that second spot since he's able. I might take Chris Johnson or Spiller maybe over Sanders.
He's got to start the two. He says in the thing, I have to start two of those running backs, so that's why he's going wide receiver.
Oh yeah. I was reading that wrong. Okay, yeah. I'm with V-Jax, Wallace, and Sanders then. So
welcome to the island again, Rick.
That's all right. Yeah, that's true. But I tell you what, to me it's very close. I'm not on the island yet. The machine hasn't dealt, but I do like Sanders. You know, to me it's real close between the two, but I just like LaFell a little better. What's the machine say, Scott?
V-Jax, Wallace, and LaFell.
Oh, I'm not on the island. No coconuts yet.
All right. That's a shame.
Okay.
I might just turn your microphone off.
We hit on this, both these guys.
All right.
And this question came in. Ray Rice, Le'Veon Bell, standard scoring.
Man. Oh, it shouldn't be close. It should be Ray Rice. Easy. It comes a gut play. I'm going to go Le'Veon Bell, Rick. I really am, standard, too. They're not going to run the ball much, I think, especially the last couple of years playing Pittsburgh. They try to take the top off of it, and I think you're going to see them doing the same thing. I think just on a volume play, I think it's Le'Veon Bell. Well, that's sad to say.
Well, the machine doesn't think it's close either. It has Ray Rice, and it's really not close at all. I'm gonna go with you and disagree with the machine. I'm going to take Bell slightly over Rice. I just have a little more faith in him right now.
Yeah, I do too. If I was in that situation, could I honestly say I'd have the guts to do that? But I think really right now at this point, I actually may pull the trigger on Bell, even though it's very close. All right, here's one here. I have been riding Schaub and Dalton all year. Schaub is now hurt, and I've since picked up Nick Foles. Who would you start this week?
Nick Foles. I think... Yeah, wow. Even if Schaub was I'm not even going to break it down. Nick Foles, I love what he did last week. We saw him do this on occasions last year. This kid can play the quarterback position in the NFL. There's going to be games where he struggles, but I'll roll those dice every week against Andy Dalton.
Yeah, look, and Dallas gives up 40 yards a game passing more than Detroit does, and that's who Dalton's going against. I like Nick Foles too. I don't even think it's that close.
Well, the machine likes Dalton by the tiniest of margins, and I'm with you guys. We mentioned before that Dallas game, the Vegas line is like 55.5. That's going to be a lot of scoring. I think Foles is going to have a lot of points. I'm Foles.
All right. So the machine has got clunked twice with the coconut here. So, all right. I now have a dilemma. I drafted Gronk and also got Cameron later in the draft. Now that Gronk is back, who do I start in PPR?
This week, it's Cameron. I don't think, unless something's happened in the last half an hour, it's not even 100% that Gronk's going to play.
Right.
I know he made the trip, but it hadn't been announced to this point that he was going to play. Cameron just as consistent as can be. I think you start looking for a trade right now. I don't know which one you trade. I guess you see what deal you can put together for yourself. For this week, I think it's Cameron easily. Now, this will be a lot tougher question in about 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah. I'm liking Cameron this week, and I'll tell you what, once I don't know what the bye situation is with New England. They haven't had their bye yet.
Not yet.
Nope.
Yeah, it's, or Cleveland, as far as that goes, have
no,
they?
No.
Okay.
Probably on the same line.
I think once you get the byes through, I'd hate to say that, but be trade gate bait guy.
Yeah.
Because I'd keep Cameron and gamble on the name value of Gronk. But right now, I think Cameron.
Yeah, I don't think it's close. The machine thinks it's close and still picks Cameron. I don't think it's even remotely close. I'm not trusting Gronk. He might get another arm injury in the third quarter yet. So
right.
I'm going Cameron. And as far as you guys mentioning trading, I'm a big proponent of having two guys like this, one in my flex, one in my tight end, and then having the other as a safety net for bye weeks. I wouldn't trade them at least until after their byes. I don't know if I'd trade them all season.
Well, that
depends on the team.
There's a lot of leagues don't allow tight ends in a flex spot. Yeah, in that case, certainly keep them. Yeah, no doubt about it. Here's a little interesting comment in the chat room from Mark. Standard leg, he just traded Calvin Johnson for Maurice Jones-Drew and Eric Decker. And he said he hoped he didn't screw up, but he's sick of Johnson. And I'm not sure I don't disagree. I mean, Eric Decker, we mentioned, is bringing it up. I don't know what your running back situation is. MJD isn't that spectacular, but he's a starting running back if you were suffering from some injuries.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what the rest of his lineup look like. On its surface, I don't like that deal. I like what Decker's done. MJD's been a disaster. But if he were hurting for a number two running back, I guess I can see making that deal. I got to think Calvin gets healthy and gets it together here before the year's over and you start seeing those Megatron-like numbers, though.
Yeah, I don't think I would have made that deal, but part of fantasy football needs to be having fun. And if you're not having fun with Calvin Johnson and MJD and Decker, I don't know his roster, but if they do improve it to a degree and he's going to enjoy that more, then go for it. I wouldn't do it, but yeah.
Yeah, if you're a guy sitting there with maybe a Doug Martin and a David Wilson as your running backs, you got Wilson out for a year, Martin's doing nothing. You know, you're bringing in a Decker and at least a guy you can stick in as a running back. It may not be that bad. Right now, like you said, Rick, on the surface, I don't like it, but, you know, it's hard to say.
Yeah, no question about it. We probably got time for one more, Rick.
All right. If we do quick, we got two left. But,
all right, let's do them quick.
PPR. PPR, I have Forte and had picked up MJD earlier in a trade, but D'Angelo Williams, Chris Johnson, or MJD. So, basically, who do you start with Forte? I don't think it's a question. You just take D'Angelo Williams and roll with him.
So it was MJD, D'Angelo, and who?
Chris Johnson.
Yeah, I think it's D'Angelo. Can't believe I'm saying that, but I think it's D'Angelo pretty easily there.
Wow. I'm in complete agreement with you. I don't think it's close. The machine, however, thinks it's CJ1K, and at first MJD second, probably because of the crazy good matchup, and then D-Will third. But
wow.
Yeah, I'm taking D-Will.
I'm stunned that Chris Johnson is first out of that trio, and they're going up against San Francisco on top of that.
Yeah, well, the machine has him predicting him for like 4.68 receptions, which since this is PPR, it just helped him a bunch, I bet.
All right. Well, okay, the last one, we'll wrap it up here real quick since we're running out of time, but pick two in a PPR, Eddie Royal, Wayne Bowe, Rick's buddy, T.Y. Hilton, Aaron Dobson, Greg Jennings.
Oh, wow. So it's T.Y. easily. He's number one on that list. Dwayne Bowe, God, he's Dwayne Bowe. Enough said, as my notes said earlier. Eddie Royal has disappeared. Here's a guy, beginning of the year, just a touchdown machine. He's completely disappeared. I don't trust Dobson. I can't believe it. I'm going to have to go with Dwayne Bowe, I think, on that list.
Well, I tell you what, certainly Hilton is my guy. I think right now with the matchup, new quarterback with Josh Freeman, I think I might roll with Greg Jennings. I think he may be him and Kyle Rudolph might be the go-to guys. And maybe Simpson, maybe later on as they develop a rapport. But I think I'm going Hilton and Jennings.
Well, the machine says Hilton and Bowe. And it actually has Bowe ranked first of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Once you make hits with a coconut for the machine, I think.
Out on Henny Island, I guess. I don't really see this as that close to me. I like Jennings and Hilton. I love Hilton this week. I'm starting him as borderline wide receiver one, probably wide receiver two, just based on who's out there. But I think he's going to put up one numbers. And Jennings, number two.
All right. Well, there we have it. Another successful show. Scott, thanks for coming on. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Oh, you can find me at FF Oasis on Twitter, at ScottFish24 on Twitter. Follow us at FF Oasis. We're about 13 away from 2,000. So,
let's get there.
Yeah, it's a slow crawl, but it's getting there. And you can find my work at FF Oasis. I just put up a gambling article yesterday if you're a degenerate like me. So check that out.
All right, Scott. Well, we appreciate it. FFOasis.com. We'll talk to you next week. Good luck.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, Rick, another successful show in the books. I don't know how we keep doing this.
Oh, because it's fun. That's why.
You're out there on that island.
We got great guests, and we got great callers, and we got a great chat room. So, I mean, how bad could it be?
And we got me, so gutless Rick Penny.
Well, yeah, we kind of go around you to succeed. But, you know.
So you're succeeding in spite of me. Is that what you're trying to say?
You're kind of like the rock that sits in the middle of a stream.
Okay.
You know, the stream's going to go.
It's going to
go. The water
going.
Just goes around you.
I don't think I can argue with that. I got nothing. All right. Well, we appreciate everybody listening in. We'll be back for a couple more weeks Tuesday night on the Blitz. Check us out. We'll still answer your questions at Asylum Football on Twitter, asylumfootball@gmail.com, right up till kickoff. Coming in a few weeks at the Armed Forces Radio Network. Give them a follow at the AFRN and the Facebook.com/Armed Forces Radio Network.co. Thanks again. Till Tuesday, we'll see you.
Good luck and take care. The faith gives a feeling and a deep feeling. I believe in the faith that grows, and the full I call can make me cry. When I'm with you, I feel like I could die, and that would be alright, alright. And when the plague came in, she said she was crossing. The velvet is ripped in the sea, we drift on the earth to feel alive. And now I'm struggling to survive those days you were wearing that velvet dress. You're the priestess, I must confess. Belly face down on the mattress one, and you hold me, and we are broken. Still excited, I wanna feel just a little. Now feel myself heavy on the ground. I'm scared, I'm not coming down. No, no. Something else.